Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
But everything that we've achieved is under threat from the left-wing ideology that demands absolute conformity, relentless regulation, and a top-down control of the entire U.S. economy.
Well said, President Trump. The witch hunt continues today. In fact, it'll be televised live starting at 9 this morning by Adam Schiff and the United States House. We're going to carry it live for you here, Fox News Radio coverage. And, of course, Annie Frye will be in here once they take a break at some point. Annie is going to take over and get your reaction to what's going on. So be sure and tune in later today for that. Hey, happy Wednesday, I would say, except for this mess that's going to be going on in Washington. That will not be very happy. It's a sham. As the president said many times, it's a witch hunt. If you want to have a little fun with it, Annie's created something that's fun. Go to the blog there on 971talk.com / the Annie Frye Show, and she's created bingo pages that you can print out, and you can put a coin or something on the, every time you hear the phrase. I don't know what you win if you get bingo, but when you hear the word witch hunt, or the call was perfect, or impeachable offense, or high crimes and misdemeanors. She's got them all on there. Hunter Biden, Mueller report, whatever words we're expecting to hear today, that should be a lot of fun. We'll get to all that and more coming up. I got Cassie Smedley as a guest. She's with the RNC. We got our first responder spotlight a little later this hour with our big announcement about where you can join us Friday the 22nd to have breakfast, and a portion of all of the money raised will go to help first responders. So stay tuned for that. Right now, let me get back to the phones here, because and right at the end of the hour, caller Fred phoned in and was taking an issue with something we had in our 2A segment, which dealt with a homeowner using an AR-15 to save her family from an assault. So people kicked in the door and were robbing her family. She's 8 months pregnant. She comes out of the bedroom with an AR-15, shoots one of them and kills them, and the other one got away. And Fred said it was stupid to use an AR-15 for home defense. And a lot of folks on the phones here, take a little bit of issue with that. Let me get to the phones here. Nick, thanks for holding on.
Hey, sorry. Doing help. Forgive me. I'm a little tired from working all last night. I'm pretty sure Fred's a plant and a false flag. He doesn't know what he's talking about. A shotgun is better than nothing, but a shotgun is a horrible thing for home defense. It overpenetrates interior walls way too much, substantially more than an AR-15. So you've got a big threat as far as what else, what other damage and what else you're hitting in addition to your target. If you're using buckshot, you're going to use a slug. That's going to go right through your house and in the neighbor's house.
Right.
AR-15 travels, the round, the projectile from an AR-15 travels fast, and it actually violently fragments, and it penetrates less than pistol ammunition does. Hollow point pistol ammunition packs full of drywall and other stuff and acts like a solid jacket or a solid projectile, and keeps penetrating as well. An AR-15 actually penetrates less. There's also less recoil in an AR-15. It's louder.
Where is that,
it's
too?
Substantially,
yeah,
louder.
That's true.
But an AR-15 recoils substantially less, and it's actually safer for people of smaller stature who may not be as strong to be able to control and actually get rounds on target. At the end of the day, the whole purpose is to stop the threat, right?
Right, right. No,
so why are we just going to be losing... Fred saying that he's a gun toter? Now that rings a first, that's the first
that's
red flag.
That's the alarm right there. Yeah.
That makes no sense. The second thing he wants to say is that he wants to start an ammo registration. Get out of here.
This guy's
a plant. You know what? He might as well be Damon's buddy. He and Damon can go drink coffee in the morning. I don't believe either one of them.
Nick, thank you for your service. I know that you're a first responder. I appreciate you being an officer, putting it out there for us. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Yep. Have a good one.
Thanks
for the phone call. Yeah, I wanted to get to his call because he's making some good points there. Mm-hmm. And I may get back to that subject in a minute. Right now, I've got a special guest on the phone, and I want to be sure and get to him because it's State Representative Justin Hill is calling in. He's actually in Israel right now, where people have been lobbing mortars into Israel from the Gaza Strip. Justin, what's going on over there?
Hey, Mark, I got a little delay on the phone, so I hope you can hear me okay.
Yeah.
They're not lobbing mortars. They are shooting missiles. I mean, they're shooting missiles well into Israel from the Gaza Strip. And things are kind of shaking up here in Israel.
Yeah, you sent me a picture holding an empty shell, like a spent shell that landed over there somewhere, a rocket?
Yeah, on Monday, I was visiting southern Israel along the Gaza Strip, kind of doing an assessment of their defense forces. And on the way, you know, I stopped at a few towns and villages along the way, talking to people what it's like living so close to the conflict. And a resident brought this missile shell to me that hit his house. So explaining on, you know, they have 8 seconds to react when a missile gets shot out of Gaza to find shelter.
Well, thank goodness for the Iron Dome defense they've got. I know the damage could have been a lot worse, but I read somewhere yesterday that about 200 of these projectiles have been fired toward Israel since they eliminated a radical Islamist a couple days ago.
Yes. So Monday, like I said, I went all the way down to the border of Egypt. And while we're getting spoken to there by some local forces, about 7 bombs were dropped by Egyptian forces in the Sinai Peninsula. And it was shaking houses in Israel. We were miles away from bombs being dropped on just radical terrorist organizations. These are all offshoots of ISIS. And what's going on in Gaza right now is actually the Islamist jihadists. And they are kind of an independent, rogue terrorist organization. And they're kind of destabilizing everything here now because Hamas, they don't want to get involved, right? They don't want to escalate to that level, but these little independent rogue Islamic jihadists are just shooting rockets from schools in Gaza over to Israel at homes, at places of work, at schools, targeting civilians. So yesterday we woke up in Tel Aviv to air raid alerts, and people just stop their cars and get out of their cars and run to the nearest shelter. I was in the hotel. Some of my colleagues were outside where they actually saw the Iron Dome take down 2 missiles that were inbound to Tel Aviv. So it's quite an escalation that's really kind of gone unnoticed in the U.S. because of what's going on in D.C.
Yeah, it's crazy. It really is. Justin, what's the purpose of your trip?
You know, back in August, I did an assessment on our southern border. Well, here we're doing an assessment of the border controls in Israel, where I just I left the ambassador's office. We were talking about how effective the Israelis do border control.
Right.
I met the gentleman that actually built the wall between Israel and Palestine and talked to him about their strategy and maintaining control, not shutting people out, but maintaining control to maintain safety.
Well, I know you got some big meetings over there today. I appreciate you giving us a little bit of time this morning and calling in. I know you're 8 hours ahead of us over there, but listen, be safe, and we'll get you on the radio when you get home.
All right. Talk to you soon.
You Thanks. Bet. Yeah. Missouri State Representative Justin Hill there, District 108, who happened to be in Tel Aviv when missiles started falling that are being lobbed. Imagine if we, like, we're in here in St. Louis and suddenly somebody across the river in southern Illinois started lobbing rockets into the city. These folks live with this over there all the time. With these terrorists that live in Gaza, it's insane. Let me get to a quick break here. 314-241-9797. Back to the, you heard Justin say there what's happening in Israel is being covered up because of the faux drama that's been playing out up in Washington, D.C. right now. We're going to talk to Cassie Smedley from the RNC when we come back.
They all know what this is going to be, a partisan circus. It's going to be the Seinfeld of impeachments, a show about nothing, sound and fury signifying nothing.
Joe Concha there, the Seinfeld of impeachments. There's no there, I think, is what he's getting at. And boy, that's the truth. Hey, let me get my guest in here, Cassie Smedley with the RNC, joining us this morning, as she always does. Cassie, thank you. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Mark. Great to be with you.
Yeah, you know, today at 9 o'clock Central Time, at least, the sham show of an impeachment starts on national television. I have a hard time believing that anybody on the left side of the aisle thinks the American people are going to view this as anything to do with fair and balanced.
On the left side, well, I agree with you on both sides that this is not going to be fair and balanced. We know that just by the sheer process alone. And the biggest takeaway before this even starts today, for these two witnesses that they're calling, they are only aware of this call through second and third hand information. They weren't in the room. They weren't on the call. These are just two people that have cherry picked answers that Adam Schiff thinks will fit his cherry picked narrative, which of course he's been crafting since President Trump was elected. So again, this is going, I love that Seinfeld. This is the impeachment inquiry about nothing. And that could not be more true.
Yeah. No, I agree. And, you know, I guess the point is, I'm looking at the rundown here. I'm looking at the rules. Adam Schiff can add additional time anytime he wants for his questioners. He alone gets to decide who gets to ask what. He can call members in any order. He's denied every witness Republicans suggested should be called up there. So basically, there will be nothing new discussed today that the Democrats haven't already leaked from previous testimony.
That's right. He's the judge, the jury, the prosecutor. Doesn't that sound nice and fair, nice and impartial, that he's just seeking the truth? Absolutely not. This is him seeking to have his political vendetta on President Trump come out. And the only good news about today is that the American people will finally get to see it, because, of course, it's been behind closed doors. But to your exact point, the transcripts have been released. They're a bunch of nothing burgers, because there are people who either weren't in the room, weren't affiliated with the call, just felt that this was some sort of duty they were called to, having nothing to do with it. Or you've got others who said, yeah, I was there and I actually didn't see anything inappropriate with this. Or in all of my years of service in the intelligence community, nothing was done here that hasn't been done any number of times before. So I think this is really going to backfire on the Democrats, because once you get these witnesses out there under oath in front of a camera, he can't cherry pick their answers anymore. We're going to hear them in full. And what you're going to hear is that there was no there there.
Yeah, no. And that's going to become so obvious before this is over. You know, here's the thing. Has the RNC taken a position on the identity of the so-called whistleblower? Because, you know, somebody said it's not like Voldemort. It's not like the name nobody can mention. But now you've got Adam Schiff threatening to drag people before the Ethics Committee if they mention this guy's name.
Right. Our position is that we want full transparency in this process. If it means needing to have the whistleblower testify in order to get the truth in a fair, transparent way, that should absolutely be on the table. And you saw that's why the Republicans have called for him to be able to testify. What's so interesting to me is that you have the media and the Democrats who were saying, yes, we want transparency. And you had people saying, yes, we should allow the whistleblower to be a part of this due process. And then as soon as it was revealed that the whistleblower had been working in cahoots with Adam Schiff, and he has these lawyers who are incredibly politically motivated, who have had tweets since day one of the president being elected that said, we will start the coup and not, impeachment will begin now. Once all of that partisanship was revealed, now all of a sudden he deserves all of these protections. It's incredible how the Democrats and the media, I don't know if they have daily conference calls or what, but that they can stay on each other's on the same page with each other, and that Adam Schiff gets full protection from his friends in the media over this charade.
It is amazing the minute I saw the story yesterday morning that the Democrats were quietly shifting their strategy, they weren't going to talk quid pro quo, they're going to start talking about, you know, using different words, those same words showed up in the media, like immediately All the sound bites, everything focused on, I mean, it's just, it's embarrassing. It really is.
Isn't that funny how it happens? And I can tell you from our daily interactions with the media as well, we'll say these are all the things we're doing. We've had 120 events out in states of people, grassroots people that have said, I want to come out and I want to show my Democrat member of Congress that I don't agree with what they're doing. And we've got all sorts of people talking like you and me every day. And then you'll open up the story and you'll say, oh, they only included one line of our entire conversation. Yeah, and they failed to mention any of the opinions of everyday Americans who disagree with what's happening here, who wish that their member of Congress was working on the issues they care about. All of that stuff they willingly neglect to mention because it doesn't fit the cherry-picked narrative that they've been trying to push since, if you're the Washington Post, 19 minutes after the president was inaugurated, they wrote a headline about the impeachment process beginning. So this moment for them is a culmination of what they've been trying to do since the very beginning. The problem is there's no there. You can't impeach a president if he didn't do anything wrong.
Cassie Smedley, keep up the good fight. We appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you. Same to you.
Yep. Have a great week. Cassie Smedley there with the RNC, CM Smedley on Twitter if you want to follow her there. She also, one thing they don't talk about is the stock market hit another all-time high this week. I mean, it's just amazing all the things that the left wants to distract you from when they have a pool of 35 people running for president and nobody's interested in any of them. That's why Hillary might run again. She said very, very, very many people want her to run again. Mm-hmm. She said that yesterday.
Are these voices in her head?
Probably. She should seek professional help. 314-241-9797. Speaking of the market, we're going to get you an update coming up. All right, you know Rick Ocasek of the Cars died recently, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Did you hear that he wrote his ex-wife out of the will at like the day before he went in for whatever medical procedure he had that she nursed him back from?
Whoa.
He wrote, I know we're not divorced yet, but she abandoned me, so she's not entitled to any. They're still married. I don't know if he could do that. Depends on what state they live in, I guess, right?
Yeah, I don't know how that works.
I don't know. We'll see. I thought that was kind of cold. I'm like, wow. Rick. All right. I guess he was pretty hurt over whatever it was they didn't. But, you know, she was been there for him anyway.
That
story surprised me.
But that was before, you know, maybe.
I know.
Maybe she should have been better before if that was his problem with her.
Let this be a lesson to you. I'm just kidding. All right, let's get to our guest. Good morning, Jennifer Kishinka. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Oh, we're doing great here. We're nice and toasty and warm at 14 degrees.
Yeah, it's 19 here. Ugh.
The polar vortex has embraced us. We're ready to get rid of it. Ready to send it to the East Coast.
I don't want it.
No, but not. What's happening out there in the markets?
All right. Futures are moderately lower this morning as global equities move lower after stumbling blocks emerge in trade talks a month after the U.S. and China called a truce in their trade war. Tariffs are emerging as the main stumbling block in efforts to come to a limited trade deal. The Wall Street Journal says the logjam centers on whether the U.S. has agreed to remove existing tariffs in the so-called Phase 1 deal that the two countries have been working toward, or whether the U.S. would only cancel tariffs set to take effect December 15th. Markets will get an update on price growth in the U.S. when the October Consumer Price Index is released in about 50 minutes or so. Later this morning, Fed Chairman Jerome Powell will give testimony to Congress's Joint Economic Committee. Lines of questioning for Powell might include the Fed's expected pause on interest rate cuts and the overall health of the U.S. economy. Orders and deliveries of new Boeing planes remain depressed. 8 months into the grounding of the company's 737 MAX, Boeing says it delivered 20 planes and took a net of 10 orders in October, down from 57 a year ago. Meanwhile, Reuters reports that some U.S. airlines are willing to pick up their 737 MAX jets from Boeing as soon as December if the FAA approves delivery of the grounded planes before new pilot training is agreed upon. Hundreds of the jets have rolled off Boeing's Seattle production line in the months since two fatal crashes on the aircraft led to a global safety ban, forcing the plane maker to park unflown jets at facilities across Washington state until regulators approve software and training updates. By starting to hand over the jets, Boeing would get a head start on what airlines predict will be the biggest delivery logjam in civil aviation history. A federal regulator has initiated an investigation into a cloud computing deal between Alphabet's Google and Ascension Health, which would give Google access to detailed health information on millions of patients. The Office for Civil Rights in the Department of Health and Human Services will look into the data collection to ensure the partnership is in compliance with rules that safeguard medical information. Google says patient data cannot and will not be combined with any Google consumer data. Two Midwestern hospital giants have become the latest to break off merger talks, another drag on deal-making across the $1 trillion hospital sector. Sanford Health, based in Sioux Falls, and Unity Point Health, based in Des Moines, separately said they had ended merger talks. Sanford faulted Unity Point for rejecting the agreement to create a major U.S. hospital system. The combination would have created a 76-hospital giant with operations across 26 states. Tyson Foods expects its Holcomb, Kansas beef processing plant to reopen sometime within the next 2 months. The plant is one of the biggest in the beef industry, representing about 5% of daily U.S. cattle slaughtering capacity, and it shut down in August after a fire sent cattle prices sharply lower for ranchers and feedlot operators. And what may possibly replace some plastic packaging? Seaweed. Hellmann's, maker of those small ketchup and mayonnaise packets, and a packaging startup and delivery platform Just Eat, are joining together to make biodegradable packets for condiments. The seaweed packets biodegrade naturally within 6 weeks, and so far, trials in the UK have been a hit. 91% of users say the packets were easier to use than regular ones. Mark?
So, what if the packets sit in the restaurant for longer than 6 weeks? Do they just melt in the little container?
I guess they just dissipate.
I thought it's weird. And, you know, when we went to Ireland, there's no such thing as a bottle of ketchup on the table. They're all those little packets. That's all they use. So maybe, I mean, I can see the environmental need for something like that, but 6 weeks doesn't seem like long.
I'm not sure about that.
All right. Tough questions. All right, Jennifer, thank you.
Yeah, you got it.
Appreciate it. Yeah, that seems, I always get the impression that those packets have like a half-life of a radioisotope or something. Like they just, once they're in there, they could just, you could use them forever.
I have a feeling you need to clean out your refrigerator.
I know. I was going to say, what is lingering?
Well, no, I'm just saying. I mean, you don't
find
know how long
they've...
Find
a packet in your car. It's been there a couple of years. It's probably still good.
When is the last time you went to a restaurant and you checked the expiration date on the ketchup package? That's my point.
Never?
So we don't know how long they're there. If the thing biodegrades after 6 weeks,
well, that's
gonna be a
the
mess.
Seaweed.
Ugh. Okay. All right.
But you know what? If I bet they make fewer of them.
Yeah.
Maybe. I see the purpose for it. I'm just saying. It didn't seem like long. Denise told me a story earlier. I've seen people with Christmas decorations up already on social media. Where's this community where they're trying to stop the homeowners association?
Well, so the story that I read was out of San Antonio. On November 1st, a couple put up, you know, the big old inflatable stuff that people put in their yards, started decorating, had a bunch of the big stuff up in their yard, and the HOA sent a letter saying, you can't do that. I guess it's against the HOA rules that you can't decorate that early. I don't know if they have a date. I don't know what the rules are.
Hooray for the Homeowners
Association. But yeah, so the Homeowners Association told them to take down their decorations. Now, what they were saying is that the woman is pregnant. She's like 8 months pregnant. And so they wanted to get an early start on decorations because obviously there's a baby coming very soon. They'll be busy, but they wanted to decorate.
That seems reasonable.
It does. And so the rest of the neighborhood got on the bandwagon with the couple, and they started putting up decorations as well to really tick off the HOA.
But like, what about, they could have the inflatables up, but they don't need to inflate them every night.
I'm sure, I don't know exactly, because they just had a picture of one of the inflatables, but it's probably everything. Though I was driving around yesterday, people with their Christmas lights on at night already.
Yeah, what I was shocked about, I went to Home Depot the other day, and of course they've had the displays with the inflatable stuff up since for like 2 or 3 weeks now. It's been a while.
Since as soon as Halloween was over.
Yes.
Well, just like Halloween,
before.
I'm stunned at how expensive some of that yard art costs.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
A couple of $100 for this blow-up thing in your yard. It's crazy.
I just wonder what the HOA rules are. Like what exactly that neighborhood is like? Is there a certain date you can only start decorating and see that make people? Though it's it's getting earlier. It is getting earlier and earlier with the Christmas decorations. And I'm whatever you want to do. If it makes you happy, that's great.
I love
Thanksgiving. So I don't want to think about Christmas stuff, and I'm not going to decorate for Christmas stuff until after Thanksgiving.
Usually the weekend after Thanksgiving.
I feel like Thanksgiving is getting completely looked over, and it's my favorite.
It's earlier. It's late. It's late this year.
It is.
Thanksgiving is late this year.
2 days.
But November 1st is pretty early to be putting up your Christmas decorations.
Agreed.
Just saying.
I'm with you. All right. let me get to a break here. When we come back, we'll get to our first responder spotlight, our big announcement for what's coming up on November 22nd. Plus Genevieve Wood at about 7:10. We'll be right back.
This is your first responder spotlight.
All right. A shout out today to the fine folks out at the Lake St. Louis Police Department. Appreciate all they do out there. Chief DiGiuseppe and his crew taking care of business every day. Thank you for what you do. Here's what we're going to do. We direct you to our website, 971talk.com/Cox. You're going to see a link there to our first responder spotlight, and there's a link there to Responder Rescue. They do a great job of, they've got the back of our first responders when something goes wrong, and we appreciate that. Big news this morning is that on the 22nd of this month, in the morning, we're going to take the whole show live to the Walnut Grill Sunset Hills location. And when you stop by there or you stop by any of the Walnut Grill locations on that day, Friday the 22nd, and you buy breakfast, whatever it is you buy, a portion of the proceeds will be donated to the folks at Responder Rescue. With our thanks to Eric Vogel, the folks at Walnut Grill for chipping in here and providing this location for us. We'll be in Sunset Hills. Of course, they're in Ellisville. They're at the Clarkson Clayton Center. And they're out there in O'Fallon, Missouri at Highway K. Close to 40 down there, not far from Citicorp. Any location you go to have breakfast Friday morning the 22nd, a portion of what you pay for breakfast is going to go help our first responders. So we thank you for that, and we look forward to seeing you out there. We'll have the whole crew there.
Looking forward to it. Yeah.
Absolutely. We're gonna have a little bit of fun that morning. So be sure and come out and show your support. We look forward to seeing you. That's good stuff. Hey, I mentioned this a little earlier that at 9 o'clock this morning, we get underway with this whole impeachment hearing. Just so you know, in case you're just tuning in, I want to keep you up to date here. At 9 o'clock, they're supposed to gavel this in. Adam Schiff and Devin Nunes will be, of course, the ranking members there who will be running it. Schiff will be running it. Nunes will get to talk when Schiff tells him he can. That's the kind of a democracy that we're working under there in the House. Schiff will swear in the witnesses, and the first two are going to be Ambassador Bill Taylor and Foreign Service Officer George Kent. Here's the thing about it. Nothing they're going to say will be a surprise because we've heard it before. They've already testified behind closed doors. Nobody's supposed to know what they said, but, of course, it conveniently select portions of it got leaked out. So everybody knows what to expect. At least we have Jim Jordan and a few others who will get to ask some hard questions of these folks. None of the witnesses the Republicans requested will be there today. None of the witnesses are on the list, in fact, for today or Friday or next week when they're going to do this all over again, where they've got a total of 8 witnesses they're planning to call. 8 witnesses, all witnesses called only by Democrats, and then they're going to vote on whether or not to impeach the duly elected president of the United States. It's unbelievable what's going on with it. By the way, I don't know if you heard this or not. There's been a lot of speculation over who the whistleblower is. Mm-hmm. I don't know who it is. Several outlets, including Real Clear Investigations, have reported that it's a low-level CIA guy named Eric Ciaramella, however you pronounce his name. And now somebody, a whistleblower, has filed a complaint against him because apparently he went and created a GoFundMe page to pay for his legal expenses, which is apparently illegal if you are a member of the intelligence community. There are laws against you accepting any money from anybody for anything. And he went out and collected over $200,000 since he started this GoFundMe effort.
Wow.
And now they're looking into that. Apparently, the Inspector General's office is looking into him soliciting donations via GoFundMe. I guess there's very little question anymore about who the whistleblower is. Can we all agree on that? 314-241-9797. The one and only Genevieve Wood coming up right here at 710.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.